Hey folks, today's show is brought to you by Space Rehearsal and Recording. With 31 spacious rooms and located just a few short miles south of downtown, Space is Austin's premier rehearsal and recording facility. I'm in Skyrocket. We have a lockout room there and we absolutely love it. So I say, call one of the friendly and courteous staff at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Tell them you heard about it on How Did I Get Here and they will give you one free hour. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Hey, get up there and get with the pros. Go to Space. All right, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I have a great show for you today. We have a double header lined up. Yes, that's right. I have the pop band Gobi, who is releasing their single Born to Dance on July 25th at Stubbs. They're having a big party for that. It's a great song, Born to Dance. Anyway, you don't get many pop bands here in Austin. So I'd like to thank my friend Amber for hooking me up with these guys, because really, you know, pop, I mean, that's the kind of music that's on the radio. But in Austin, it's really, what's popular here is very different than what's popular in the mainstream of the world. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's happening in the scene in your town. Let me know, because I don't know. I like to meet pop bands. I do like great pop music. So I like Gobi. We have an interesting conversation. Justin and Matt stopped by. We sat down. We talked. And they're excited about their release show, July 25th at Stubbs. Also, I have Lowen. I have Sarah Hauser, who used to be in The Couch. She has a new band called Lowen. They have a show tonight at the Mohawk with Casual Strangers. Tonight, Friday, July 18th at the Mohawk. You can see Lowen and Sarah Hauser and her band. They're incredible. They're doing the show with the Casual Strangers. It's their record release show tonight. So that's going to be exciting. I'm going to go. That's where I will be tonight. I'll be watching Sarah and seeing Lowen for the first time and also seeing Casual Strangers, who I love. All right, so before we get to these conversations in this big show, what is going on with me? Let me tell you. Had a great show at Strange Brew on Tuesday night. Had AJ Vallejo and Kendall Beard come out. AJ and I did some songs together. That was really fun, and AJ and Kendall did some songs together. And then AJ sat down and played on his own, and it was incredible. Incredible. He also turned me on to a time-sucking program out there called PicMonkey. You can go to that site and sign up for it, and you can do stuff with pictures, like make little posters. So I've been making ones for the one that's coming up with Jason Blum and Salim Nirala, which is next Tuesday, July 22nd. Come on out to that. It's going to be a great time. They've been great so far. Other than that, I spent like 7 days with my dogs at my ex-girlfriend Sandy's house. It was great. And I came home last night, and it was a little different, a little sad without the dogs. Dogs in your life, man, they really make a huge difference. Oh, speaking of that, you know how I did the Austin Pets Alive Music and Mutts thing? I did two pictures with two different, promoted sort of two different dogs to be adopted. Both of them got adopted. That's a great story. Christopher Durst, who did those pictures, came out to the show on Tuesday. He was fantastic. We had a really interesting conversation. He was telling me, and I'm going to have him on the show. I think he's coming on next week. He was telling me that he found a way to not charge artists for doing their photographs because of how it works out for the promotion for the photographer. I don't know. We're going to get to the bottom of that. We're going to have this conversation, and that'll be great. I don't know how interesting that is to you, but it is to me. As an artist, I find that incredibly interesting. Also, we've been getting a lot of feedback about the Jess Klein interview and the Charlie Mars one. I want to thank you guys. Thank you so much for listening to those. They were great, great conversations. I love Jess Klein. I love Charlie Mars. They're both great. And also, I got an interesting post the other day. Someone said that they were driving across the country and they spent most of the time listening to How Did I Get Here? So I want to thank them for doing that. And how do you listen to the show? Where do you listen? You listen to your car? You listen on headphones when you're working out? Do you listen in your house when you're cleaning it? What do you do? I listen to podcasts, and I listen to them, mostly on Stitcher. Sometimes I download them to my iPod and I listen to them on there, but mostly I do listen to them on Stitcher. I love Stitcher. You hear me talk about it all the time on the show. If you don't have it, go to your app store, check out Stitcher. go to Stitcher.com. It is a great app. There's over 5,000 shows on there, like Fresh Air, WTF, Who Charted, all my favorites on there, Nerdist, all the good ones, and even some bad ones probably. So you can find out if you're into really bad podcasts, which I hope you're not, and you're listening to this one. That would make this show bad. So hopefully this is... What am I even talking about? Hey, you know what? We got a big show for you today. I have Lowen. Got Sarah Hauser from Lowen. She came in. We talked. And we also have Gobi, Justin, and Matt. So let's talk to Gobi first. Here we go. Here are my new friends, Justin and Matt from the band Gobi. They have a single release show for their single Born to Dance at Stubbs, July 25th here in Austin, Texas. If you're here, go out to that. If not, check them out online. You can see the video is a great video for Born to Dance. It's a great song. All right, let's talk to these guys. Let's talk to Gobi, Justin, and Matt. Let's get down.
It's like I'm born to dance. Michael Jackson, I got that big love. Bill Paxton, I'm on my knees yelling, darling, please. Eric Clapton, but on the dance floor, baby, we can make it happen.
Yeah, so like, how do you do your thing live?
Well, live, all the tracks pretty much, we used to have a bunch of analog stuff on stage, and as we started traveling a little bit more, we realized that got pretty heavy with a lot of different equipment, so we bounced all that stuff into Ableton, every track that we have from our analog equipment. Dylan, who's in our group, runs everything off Ableton, plays live guitar.
Right.
And then Dunny adds in the percussion, live drums.
Organic drums.
Okay, so live drums, live guitar, and then tracks.
Yeah.
And then you just sing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we wanted to, I mean, the album, a lot of our stuff sounds real electronic, so live we kind of wanted to bring in a little bit more, you know, organic sound. And
right.
To me, like going to shows, especially going to a lot of shows, you know, in Austin over the, like, the past 10 years or whatever, you know, drumming live is just such an element that brings, you know, the crowd alive, makes people just naturally groove and
totally
connect with it automatically, you know?
So, yeah.
You know, it's fun to kind of bring into like a little bit more electronic element to where the, you know, the drummer comes in and still can uplift the crowd even higher, you know?
Yeah.
I like electronic drums, don't get me wrong. That's why we put them on the album.
Right.
But live, there's just this organic sense that, you know, true percussion brings that just makes everyone a little bit more live, you know?
Yeah.
Gets them a little bit more rowdy.
Yeah, it brings the energy up. And you guys have a show coming up July 25th at Stubbs. It's your single release.
Born to Dance.
Yeah, Born to Dance. Great song. Mm-hmm. There's a video for it.
Yeah.
Out there on YouTube. It's a good video.
Nice.
It's really well done. Who did that?
It's a guy named Brad Montese.
Is that a real dance floor?
No. The studio.
I want to go to that place.
Right. So we shot that at... Soundcheck Studios.
Okay.
Down south. Like 51.
Central Colorado,
around Austin. And, you know, they do a lot of different rehearsals there for different groups. One time I was there and I got to see Santi Gold rehearsing, which is, you know.
No shit.
Yeah, so.
I love them.
They have like the big.
Why were they rehearsing?
They have like a huge hangar there that they used to like, you know, rehearse for bands there. But we just rented out one of like a smaller room, which still has really elevated ceilings.
Yeah.
And actually used this LED screen, this drape that we kind of started putting into our live shows when we were on the road, because you can just kind of roll it up and fold it out.
Right.
And we hung that up and then got two 12 by 20 foot mirrors and put them next to it. And so kind of created an illusion of more of a huge dance floor wall of lights. And spent about, I don't know, like 5 hours shooting there. Yeah, and we just had like a little dolly and a little track and just, you know.
Friends. Want to come dance and dress up.
Yeah.
Be a part of it.
The director did a good job of casting a few people just to make sure that we had, you know, the right element. But the idea behind the video was essentially we wanted to get everyone walk of life, every type of, you know, different looking person we could kind of find, you know, and just kind of show them showcasing their dance moves. It wasn't all about finding the best dancers. We did have a couple of really good professional dancers in the video.
Right.
But it was mainly just about showing like everyone's little unique spirit, you know. It's almost like everyone has a unique laugh when everyone kind of explodes on the dance floor, or, you know, is just really getting down. they can kind of showcase a lot of, you know, what, you know, their soul, if you want to say it, you know. So I think that's kind of cool to showcase and to be a part of and to see. And that's kind of what we wanted to just do in the video.
It's cool, man, because I did a video like that that has that thing like black and white. The Michael Jackson video.
Yeah, yeah.
Not morphing so much, but the different people. It's that same sort of vibe. Like, you have a bunch of different people kind of, like, expressing the story of the song.
Yeah, I love
it. Even, like, Happy. Sure. The, you know, all the videos and shit that are made for that song.
Yeah, that, right. That yeah, like, song. Yeah, I saw one with kids, like, they had Down syndrome the other day, and that was pretty awesome. I've worked with a lot of kids that have Down syndrome. Just
You have?
Yeah, yeah, just in different parts of my life, and so... that video was really cool because
is that your do you have a degree or something in that or do you are you
well I went to school for English and psychology and okay. then throughout that I've worked different jobs that have to do with special needs kids and different programs and so it's kind of
cool.
Do
you integrate music and stuff do you do music stuff with those guys
sometimes I mean it just depends on what they're into you sure. know I've had some kids that are like you know on the autism spectrum that are phenomenal piano players you
really
know? So that's really cool to be like well hey man you really like doing that let me show you Ableton and all the things you can do with this
yeah
and some of those guys just really explode with it and that's kind of awesome. Cool to see yeah so
man I've got a question to ask you guys and this is a serious question. The kind of music that you make, the presentation of the music, you live in the live music capital of the world, but the music that you guys make is definitely not what people think when they think of Austin live music capital of the world. And you guys do shows, and you do shows in rock clubs like Stubbs, and you've done shows at AJ's, I guess, have you?
Out at Marble Falls?
Yeah.
We haven't played there yet, but AJ wants to get us out there. Yeah, yeah. We were out there the other night just checking out some music, though.
What, like, how is it received? Is it hard? Is it hard to get noticed? Because, I mean, like, the stations that support the local music are more rock-oriented stations. Right. So, yeah. Like, a station that would play Born to Dance would be, 96.7.
Right,
but that
right.
station doesn't ever really have local people on there. So this is what I'm saying.
Like top 40.
How is that? How's that?
That's it's a great question. And Austin has been really good to us since we started playing here. But I think that the thing about it is that maybe at one point in time, even though the music is still kind of dominated by a lot of like roots and blues, and you think of Austin as synonymous with great rock bands, you know, and of course like Gary Clark right now is, you know, the poster child for, you know, huge success coming out of Austin, and you know, guys like Vallejo that we worked with kind of paved the way for a long time, and you know, you got people that associate anyway,
but that's also like the dance, the kind of the danciest that it gets is like a Vallejo. It's still a rock band,
right? Mm-hmm. But you know, I think when, you know, Ghostland kind of broke a lot of bridges in terms of bringing electronic a little bit more to
Octopus Project,
you know, people's you know, radar and being like, okay, well, this is cool live as well.
Yeah.
There's something to this. I do think that Austin does have a huge electronic community.
Yeah.
But that's more of a DJ-based community.
Right.
And, you know, since we are kind of a live band that also plays dance music, it was kind of hard to kind of figure out where we were at the beginning. But now, you know, since we started being able to play with different groups, like, you know, Austin's let us play with, you know, guys like the Cool Kids, who are like, you know, a good rap group from, you know, Chicago, and then, you know, the next night we could be playing with, you know, a DJ like Treasure Fingers or, you know, someone who's just playing like a lot of really good EDM.
Are you playing some different places that some rock bands don't get to play?
I think at first we kind of played a little bit more of like some DJ settings.
Some dance scenes,
Yeah, like we used to play Plush a lot, which I don't think many bands play Plush.
Yeah.
You see us learning drums. I mean, like, what? No, it's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah,
it's a small club. It really, you know, but it was, and it still is a fun place to go dance. And you know, it's kind of synonymous with some of the dance scenes and the kind of, I guess, dive dance places in town before the Kingdoms and before the Republic Austin or the Public Live. And we would play there and pack the place, and that actually started getting us better shows to go, not better shows, but play bigger rooms, and then. You know, now we've been able to play, you know, Stubbs, Mohawk, all the other, you know, rock venues. But with that said, I think that, especially a lot of kids these days, it seems that the genres are just being so many, you know, crossed and morphed. You know, you got a lot of kids these days that
I don't think you're just like, I'm a metalhead, or, you know, I'm just into rap. I think there's a lot of kids that are like, well, man, I love this one DJ, and then I love that one country song, and then I love that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it seems like it's all kind of happening at once. Yeah.
Right, and I think if you look at like top 40, which, you know, some people might not be too fond of or whatever, but whatever your take on it is, you can see.
Are you guys fond of top 40?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something special about writing pop music that appeals to a lot of people, and that maybe, I hate saying the word spoon-fed, but it is like easily palatable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And appeals to the masses. It's not my favorite music, and a lot of my favorite music is not on top 40, but I can admire the craft behind it, because I know that, you know, it took a lot of great engineers to record that, a lot of amazing producers, songwriters, usually great vocalists are on top 40 that you don't normally get to hear, you know, on a day-to-day basis, live anyway. So I can appreciate the craft behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there's also a point in time where to get a top 40 song, it's almost like all these things have to equate at one point in time precisely, you know, and it does have to do with the music and the writing, but also has to do with the time and so many different elements,
luck,
you know. And so I appreciate it, but, you know, I think top 40 these days has a lot of different elements in it, and you look at it, you have country, you have rap, you have, you know, EDM, and even some EDM songs now sound like they have, you know, they have kind of like a bluegrass feel to them. And like,
yeah, there's
genre,
like that Avicii thing that's going on now. It's kind of like a hoedown
exactly,
at 120 EDM BPM.
Yeah, I was doing like a yoga class the other day, and they're playing that song, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, oh, this is crazy, you know.
I've always liked about playing in Austin, though, is just everybody's very open-minded about music, and so they can cross, you know, all these genres together, and they'll understand it and get it. You know, I've had a few people come up, you know, and be like, well, you know, y'all need this or that. But mostly it's been, hey, you know, you guys are doing something that is different, and, you know, just adding all these different elements and trying to kind of cross everything together, that's what makes Gobi. We all listen to completely different music, you know.
What do you listen to?
I grew up listening to rock, heavy metal.
Yeah.
When I started playing drums, you know, that's what I first started getting into.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, all over jazz, rock, you know, and I'll even listen to hip-hop stuff that he might suggest, and we just go back and forth. And Justin Dillon, he's always, like, on the first guy to let us know of everything, the new music, but, you know, he listens quite more dance music, I think, than we do, but we just kind of go with it. We use our inspirations and what we listen to.
What kind of metal?
I started out with, you know, of course, Metallica.
Yeah.
And then I moved on to just more like progressive. I really got into Tool for a while. And then Intronaut is a cool band. And Mastodon, I really like them. Those guys are...
They have a new album out.
Mm-hmm. And they're slaying it, you know?
Yeah.
These guys have chops.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
And I've caught them a few times here at Fun Fest and... You know, just seeing them live, it's just one of those things that the album is great, but like the energy and the live music and seeing the musicians up there working and putting out that energy just blows me away.
Yeah, like, definitely. Have you guys played any festivals?
Yeah.
We recently just played Neon Desert Music Fest in El Paso in May. That was our second time to be there, which is pretty cool. That's our hometown where we're all from.
Oh, okay.
And so I was actually out there getting married. And,
congratulations.
Thank you, man. And we're getting married out in, like, my hometown area, and I was a little skeptical to ask the new lady if we could play a festival that weekend, and she was like, there's a festival that weekend, why aren't you guys playing it? And immediately when she gave me the go-ahead, I hit up our manager, and he was like, I think I could swing you guys a spot, and we got a decent spot.
Is your manager there or here?
Oh, he's in New York.
He's in New York?
Yeah, his name's Milton Hopkins. He's
cool.
A great guy. But
Who else does he handle?
He has about 8 different artists on there, but one of them, the only guys we've actually met in person is this band called Zurbin. They're out of Canada. They're more like a, like a folky pop?
Folk pop, yeah.
They're good music, and we played with them at a private conference in St. Louis in... April called Shutterfest.
Okay.
And it was just a bunch of different photographers from around actually international. We met a lot of international people there.
You get a lot of great pictures.
And it was funny, you know, at a photography convention, well, this is like the last party of the night, so they're all kind of letting loose and the drinks are flowing and everyone's having a great time.
Pictures
and
all iPhone.
Everyone's taking photos on their iPhone. And I'm just like, but you know, a couple of them did have some really great cameras that came out, and so that was fun. But no, the Neon Desert Fest was a good festival, and it's cool to see that going on in our hometown of El Paso. And you know, I think the headliners were Zed and Wiz Khalifa. So it was more like a hip hop EDM cool. type of thing.
You guys work in that, so, in yeah. that genre.
Yeah, it was good times, man. And
past Nocturnal Fest,
we did
play that.
Yeah, we played Nocturnal Fest when they used to have it out here. They don't have it down south anymore. That Insomnia used to throw.
Oh.
And then we just played Pachanga Music Festival. We did the pre party for that this year, but we've played the festival in years past and. That's always really fun to see in town.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've gotten around for a couple of different festivals, and it's been good. It's been good times.
You guys tour? You said.
Mm-hmm. We've been on some in the past. Nothing like international. Yet.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah. Our last tour was with Zilly.
Love Zilly. Yeah. He's been on the show.
Yeah, Zilly's great. You know, and we met in San Marcos years ago. Kind of been homies ever since, and I've always had a lot of high regard for Zilly. You know, he's a great MC. He's really good at what he does by kind of having his own little brand of indie hip-hop, you know.
Yeah, and he seems to really kill it.
Yeah.
He keeps it going.
Yeah, he's doing good. And so last summer we were on tour with Zilly, and that was fun. We just did the whole Midwest, went all the way up to Detroit, and, you know, we played Detroit twice last summer, which was... Or not last summer, but last year. And the show we played in the summer was really great. We played at this, old Masonic temple up there.
Oh, cool.
The St. Andrews Hall. And it's kind of like an iconic venue in downtown Detroit. And the vibe in Detroit's, you know, kind of bummed out. Actually, the day we rolled in, they declared, you know, Detroit bankrupt. And we're, rolling in and hearing it on the radio. We're like, oh, man. So, I mean, the city's kind of hurting, and you can tell, but also at the same point in time, there's also a lot of younger folk out there that are there to just do music. And
a lot of artists moving there.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And they're rebuilding this whole movement, and so there's a lot of good vibes and a lot of good intentions and a lot of people that are just down to go see music. So we had a great show. It was one of probably the best shows of the tour out there, and our buddies from this band called White Shag, which is like a local kind of metal rock band out there, great front vocalist, female vocalist, they put us up for the night. And the tour was really fun last summer with Zilly. But other than that, we've just been doing some fly-out shows. We played New York in February with Shinobi Ninja and some of our buddies up there.
Cool.
And, we did the St. Louis thing for Shutterfest, and we did the El Paso Neon Desert Music Fest, and really focusing on just kind of releasing this new album and getting all the tracks, you know, completely exactly how we want them for this new release. And remastered and remixing, so
yeah,
that's kind of been the main focus. But between then, you know, we try to get in as many shows as we can, and it's nice to get out of Austin. I mean, we love playing in this city so much.
Yeah,
but,
you gotta get out of town.
But we can only play here like once every 6 weeks because we're not the type of band that can just, you know, post up in a coffee shop and just, you know, kind of play an acoustic set or anything. You know, it's almost like we have to play a main stage with lights and, you know, the whole it's nine yards, or kind of we just lay low, you know. So
yeah.
That's,
and so your record was produced by AJ Vallejo and Colin Cadillac Roberts.
Yeah.
Who is Colin?
Colin is a guy that I met doing stage managing at the Belmont a couple years back when they reopened for South By. And that was a really fun week. And Colin was actually the front of house. And a lot of front of house guys, in my opinion, no offense to any front of house guys, but... I feel like you're either really good at live or you're really good in the studio.
And I think they would probably say the same thing.
It's kind of rare to find a guy that does both really, really well.
Very rare.
Because
Yeah.
I think we were talking about earlier, you can't really split your time that many ways.
No.
So it's almost like you pick and choose what you're really, really good at, and each has its own, you know, each is its own field almost. You know, they're similar, but they're very different. So Colin was amazing front of house, some of the best front of house we've ever had. We got to play there that South By a couple times, and, you know... Throughout the course of that week, he was like, dude, we need to work together in the studio, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, everyone during South By was like, we need to work together in the studio.
Yeah.
And so, you know, months went by, and I showed him some of the recordings we had done with AJ, and he was like, yeah, these are great, man, but come by the studio. Like, I can help you guys out. I can polish these up just a little bit more. And so I'm like, all right.
So you had him, like, mix it?
No, well, yeah, well, finally I went to a studio, and Colin mixed the entire album, but he also... So pretty much we tracked a lot of stuff into Pro Tools and Ableton from our analog equipment, because we wrote the entire album on analog gear, mainly just an Electribe SX-1, which is like this old blue piece of Electribe synth equipment, like a step sequencer, and wrote a lot of stuff on there, and then we transferred it to Ableton, then we transferred those files to either Pro Tools or whatever this, you know, like whoever wanted to work on it was going to work on it in the studio that day. Well, we then transferred all that to Logic Pro when we got with Colin, because he's a big Logic fan. And he then started inserting a lot of different MIDI plugins and, you know, making the track just really shine, putting a lot of different effects on things and really beefing up the drums. Because a lot of the old analog drums we had off the Electribes just don't kick as hard as, you know, maybe you want on a certain track. So he really polished them up, and he does a lot of different singing-songwriting stuff. Produces a lot of tracks. There's this one band called Farmdale that he works with a lot, and they're really awesome, man. I think they just moved to Nashville. Very poppy folk, like pop rock, and I mean, you just hear one of Colin's songs and you know that it's professionally done, and he's got a really good ear for pop sequencing. And sometimes I feel like our sequencing of our tracks is a little off, like non-linear, and sometimes, you know, we come into a studio with like a 12-minute song. Yeah. And we come out of the studio with a 4.5-minute song. And so sometimes it's nice to have somebody that, you know, maybe can just cut away some of the fat, you know, and get a different perspective on it. I think in writing, no matter what you're writing, if it's poetry, if it's songs, if it's, you know, screenwriting, whatever, you need more eyes on it. People that you can trust and admire. Yeah. And people to tell you, like, hey, man, you took a right here, and I think you should have taken a left. And just listen to how it would sound a little bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, and so we really try to surround ourselves with guys we trust, and Colin's definitely one of them. I'm about to go to the studio right now and work with him on some new stuff, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's going on? You guys are releasing this single, and this single is from your self-titled release, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you are re-releasing that as a deluxe edition in January of 2015.
Yeah.
So between now and then, what's going on? Between this single and that, is there another album you're working on? Is that what you're going to this?
Yeah, well, so we pretty much wrote Gold on Black Ice in its entirety, and it was almost a done thing. And we released the original last November, or late September, and we kind of just wanted to see how it would just go with our fan base, and it was really well received. And we're always writing new music, and we've decided that, like, you know, we have some older songs we wanted to re-release. We've got some new songs that we've just been working on that we feel are still kind of like a part of this theme that we still haven't kind of fully expressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this being an
LP. What's the theme?
Well, the LP on this album, I know Born to Dance is kind of like a poppy, happy dance groove song, but a lot of the other tracks on the album are kind of deal with a lot of loss and maybe like a sense of something that's kind of gone that will never be back. We all kind of went through periods where we all lost people that are really close to us in different avenues and in different ways. One being a fan that would come to all of our shows, from our best friends to, you know, parents. And so...
Yeah.
We kind of went through that, and so, you know, we didn't want to write just 10, you know, dance... you know, fun poppy songs. Yeah. And so a lot of this is more of a little bit of more of a struggle, and I think more of like a nostalgia for something that maybe you can never have in that point in time that I think a lot of people try to look back upon, you know. I mean, I feel like that's why people want to take pictures of everything, you know. It's just like, I want to hold on to it so bad, you know, and it's fleeting, you know. It's the wind, and you're trying to grab the wind, but you are the wind trying to grab the wind.
Yeah.
And so it's like... kind of expressing that angst for that a little bit too, and that understanding that, you know, these people, these moments are beautiful. We need to, you know, cling on to them, but at the same time, they'll never be there again. And what do you do next, you know?
Right.
So with that, we still have about 2 or 3 new songs we're working on. We're gonna record about 6 and pick the best 3 or 2, and then we're releasing. We're gonna re-release an old song from our first EP called Dirty Dancing, which is kind of a pop, fun song. But it's just been one of the songs that people always like, and it's stuck with a lot of people for a long time, and we kind of feel like we want to give it a little second breath. So, we're going to take advantage of all that, and we're going to be writing. We're also going to be playing some shows from now till then. You know, we got this show July 25th at Stubbs. We're going to be playing in Fort Worth in August 15th with Ishii, who's a pretty good band out of Dallas. And
cool.
They're kind of a fun dance group. We're playing at Lola's in Fort Worth. And then I believe we're going to be doing some fly-out gigs, probably go back to New York. We're going to do San Diego. Just play with some friends' bands out there. You know, now that we've kind of refined our sound to a lot of, you know, Ableton Trigger live stuff, MIDI controllers.
Yeah.
It's really easy for us to fly out, so we've been trying to take advantage of that as much as possible.
That's
good. As long as they can backline a drum set, which most clubs, you know, if you talk to some people or just gather some friends,
and
Craigslist some people out there.
Yeah. No shit.
You know, get some drums out at the show, and it's worked out for us so far. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, we like getting out of Austin, but it's kind of tough for us to just go on the road for, you know, months or however long.
Right.
So it's kind of been more efficient for us to fly out if everything's working right.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to get up to Denver because we had to cancel a show that was going to be out there in July. So we got some things going on in the fall time.
Stay busy.
Yeah.
The best part about playing out of town, though, is coming back to Austin saying, oh, I live here.
Yeah.
It's an awesome place.
It's, you know, it's such a beautiful city, man.
It's a good place to live.
Yeah.
And we've seen it kind of grow a lot. You know, I moved out here to go to Texas State when I was a lot younger. And, you know, moving down here a couple years back and then just seeing it grow so much is, you know, it's, there's good and bad things. And I know everyone's got their opinion on it. But I think at the heart of it, it's like we live in this amazing town where, especially touring through the Midwest last summer, you know, a lot of places are hurting, and you come back to like Emerald City.
So hurting. Yeah.
Construction's going on here.
Yeah,
so,
people are living lives, going out, doing things, spending money, making money. Yeah, we're very lucky. It's a lot better than Detroit.
Yeah.
All right, so people can get to Stubbs July 25th. Who else is on the bill?
The Shears are playing that night, and they're a great band. We're actually, when we released Born to Dance as a single, like on just a CD, and the vinyls that people can pre-order that night, the B track on it's going to be the Shears remix of a track called So Alive that we have.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, and the Shears are great. They just released their LP, I believe, a couple months back. They're a Red Bull Sound Select group, so they're all over on that. And they just got some really good female vocals, good pop songs, but also, I don't know, just deep tracks that kind of resonate with you.
I mean, see, I think a lot of people, when they think dance music and they call us that or whatever, they don't realize all those layers that are underneath that, you know, that Phil was just talking about, you know,
right.
emotional.
It's
not all about,
it's not,
we're out here partying, doing, you know, whatever.
Yes.
There's a lot more to it, and they're one of those bands that you can see that whenever they're playing.
That's cool.
They're into that, and they're going through some, you know, like emotional thing. It's not just pushing play and
dancing.
Four on the floor, So,
but there is something to be said that working out your problems to a nice beat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, and that's what music's for, really. I mean, I think a lot of people get into it is to kind of work through something.
Yeah.
You know, just getting lost in whatever, you know, if you're playing a piano chord or something. It helps. Then you just playing a, like a D minor chord. What is that in Spinal Tap? The saddest
chord
of all keys.
Saddest and
we also we also have AJ Vincent on the bill that night, and we have a cool story with him, but he used to be the keyboard player for Bright Light.
Oh yeah, he went on tour with my friends Black Taxi.
They're from New York. And anyway, so AJ's a great guy.
But I knew his name.
We first met AJ because we were playing in San Marcos at this house called Lindsay Street House, which is just this old, beat up, you know, typical college party house. You know, we have like five rooms there, probably 10 people live there, five dogs, whatever. You know, we're just jamming in the front room. This is before we had like three songs at that point in time. We had the name of the band, and that was about it. You know, we had no gigs or anything. And this little, you know, 18-year-old, you know, freshman comes in. He's like, "Yo, what's up, guys?" And we're like, "Hey, man." He's like, "Hey, mind if I just chill for a little bit?" I'm like, "No, come on in." You know, he's like, "Yeah, man, I heard you guys jamming." You know, and I was playing this little tiny Korg synthesizer, and he comes over. He's like, "Mind if I get on that real quick?" I was like, "Sure. I mean, check it out, man." And this kid just lays into this keyboard and starts, you know, going to town. Yeah, he's real badass, you know. And so that's when we first met him, and then we kind of kept in contact, and then played with Bright Light a couple of times as they were, you know, coming up. And, you know, I think every band eventually, not every band, but most bands, when you first play in Austin, you play at Red Eye Fly. It seems like a rite of passage almost, you know. And that's where we started playing at, you know, with Mike the Truth. And, you know, thank God for him and a place to play, because, you know, you have to, it's almost like you have to get in the club to, you know, keep rising up the ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then we, you know, Bright Light was playing on a couple bills with us back then, and we played with them in Fort Worth a couple times, and so we kept in touch, and we put him on a track on our first EP called Strobe Lights, and he just has a little, you know, keyboard solo at the end, little jazzy riff, just did all improv.
So he's doing a solo thing?
He's got this new group, I guess it's just him, called AJ Vincent, and he seems to be doing pretty well. I mean, I see him on a lot of good bills, and he's always a good musician, so I'm sure he'll make it work, and so he's going to be opening up tonight. And so it's us, the Shears, and AJ Vincent. So it should be a good bill.
And people can find your stuff on iTunes. Yep. You guys are on Facebook. You're on Twitter, the whole
Yeah, we're at Gobi Band on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
G-O-B-I.
Yep. G-O-B-I.
And also, if they really want to, we have a contest going on for July 25th as well.
Really?
Yep. And it's all on our Facebook page, but basically, just a video has to be at least 15 seconds, dancing to Born to Dance. And,
okay.
You could win $100, or we'd be playing at your house party.
Oh, nice.
So, there you go.
Yeah. I didn't have to go be at your house. That's like old school, like MTV.
Oh, yeah. Oh man.
That's how we kind of got started in a way, a lot of it.
Playing college shows and
house
Marcos.
Parties are the best, man.
They were so much fun. I mean, your gear almost gets ruined every time you play.
Yeah, but still.
But it's the best.
Yeah.
And it's that little adrenaline that I think, you know, makes it even better.
Maybe you guys bring that house party vibe to the places that you play.
Yeah, I hope so. To me, I think whether you're playing in like a huge venue with a lot of people or a tiny room with very few, you know, you want to make sure that everyone leaves that night feeling fulfilled. I mean, you really are there for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
You know, so like bring them in, make them go on a journey with you, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's always the goal, man. That's always the goal.
When we played in St. Louis, then, you know, we're in this kind of conference room with the, you know, we're the band closing the night out, but that crowd, the way they reacted to us.
Like playing. Party night.
Yeah. We had can lights falling out of the ceiling.
Just that's great.
The Marriott.
Yeah.
The convention center.
Awesome. We're kind of like, all right, now we need to get out of here.
They made us play like three encores that night.
Yeah.
And we'd had one or two like encores in our entire, you know, history of playing that were like sincere, like, but not three in the same night where people were just like, so that energy was just amazing. Yeah. And, you know, you like kind of live for those nights, especially when you can go out to a city where people don't know you, don't know what they're getting into. You're kind of just the hired band to play and entertain them that night. It's really great.
It's awesome.
So, good times.
Well, cool. Well, man, thank you guys for coming by.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Gobi. Man, I wish I could go to that show. July 25th at Stubbs. I will be playing that night, so I will not be able to attend. I will go see them, though, at some point. Maybe I should submit a video of myself dancing, and maybe I could win them, win a chance to have them come to my apartment and play a concert. What's up, people? That's right, Gobi. Check them out. Get out there and check them out. All right, my next guest is Sarah Hauser from the band Lowen. She used to be in the band The Couch, but Lowen is a new band for her. The band split up, and they became Otis and the Destroyer and Lowen. And so Lowen is playing tonight, July 18th, with Casual Strangers at the Mohawk. It's going to be a great show. I am going to that because I'm not playing tonight, so I'm going to go to that and enjoy a Friday night out on the town. All right? So, without further ado, let's talk to my friend Sarah Hauser from the band Lowen. Let's get down.
Smokey Robinson.
No way.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
It was amazing. Oh, Smokey Robinson and Linda Ronstadt, who is also a big... I love Linda Ronstadt. It was also George Massenberg, who is a really famous engineer and producer. He's...
What did he do?
Total genius. He's based in Nashville. You know, I'm trying to think what... he's worked with everybody, but he's mostly known for their... He has a mixing room that is... The picture of it is all over the place. He built a wall where all of the little pieces of wood, and they're all primary numbers, so no piece of wood is the same distance.
Right.
And it makes it so it's the most even. There's no hole. There's no, like, you know.
Right, right.
You know, what's it like?
Acoustic.
Bass,
bass trap.
Bass trap. There's no bass traps. There's no, you're no matter where you stand in the room, you're getting... equal distribution of frequencies and stuff. It's pretty cool. I went there, actually, when I was in college. Visited.
So you were on here when you were in The Couch.
Yes.
And now The Couch is no longer, mm-mm. and you have a band called Lowen.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about Loewen. What is it? You got two songs on SoundCloud. Great songs.
Yeah, thank you. Loewen is just, it was kind of what I started, basically when I decided to kind of depart from the couch. I had, you know, probably a solid group of 6 or 7 songs that I had been sitting on for a while anyway. And so I started working with a drummer, my drummer Chris, who's an old friend of mine. And we started building the songs, just the two of us. We built probably, you know, 5 or 6 songs that way.
That's funny you use the word built.
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it.
I take a skeleton to a band. Like, I'm like a big picture songwriter. I like write, start, middle, end. I can piece together sections.
Right.
You know, all that stuff. But in terms of, and I'll have an idea of tone or like vague concepts of, you know, rhythmically where I want to go with something. But, you know, I leave all the meat and the skin and stuff to the guys. Right. And so I guess that's why I call it building.
You write the lyrics and the...
Lyrics, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have all that stuff kind of together before you bring it? Or you come in with the skeletal idea?
Usually, I like lyrics a lot, and I like the art of lyric writing. And so I'll generally have... I'll have most of the lyrics written when I go in. Just because I kind of write... I'll write melodies and lyrics simultaneously.
Right.
A lot. Or I just feel silly singing like... do, you know, even in rehearsal. So generally have most of the lyrics written. Sometimes I'll repeat verses and stuff until I write another one, but for the most part I do my homework.
Yeah. Did you had to take a lot of composition classes
directly? Yeah. I was a songwriting major, which sounds weird to a lot of people, but I really everybody that graduates from Berklee still gets a bachelor's of music. It doesn't matter what your major is per se.
Right.
Even the guys that go for music business still end up with a bachelor's in music. So we all kind of get sent through the same ringer of, you know, you have to take counterpoint. Like, I had a final where my final was to write a sonata, basically. You have to take conducting. You have to take all kinds of... There's a lot of theory classes, jazz harmony, classical harmony, or classical theory, I'm sorry. And then in terms of like, there is a composition major at Berklee, and that is much more catered to like jazz composition, like, instrumental writing,
right,
arrangements, all that kind of stuff. Songwriting was more of a focus on pop writing. They kind of shape you to be a Nashville writer where you can churn out 20 songs and, or, you know, or you have somebody come up to you and say, I need a song for a girl that sounds like Taylor Swift. We think she's going to be the next Taylor Swift writer.
So what do? You go and listen to some Taylor Swift, and then you
do homework.
Hopefully have the chops enough
to
turn that around.
Yeah. I thought for a long time that I might, that might be what I wanted to do, that I might want to go to Nashville and write whatever was needed and just write for other people and sell songs and, you know, just get publishing and all that stuff. And I'm still not against it, but...
It's not what you're doing now.
No, it's not. I found that it's a lot of time very hard for me to separate myself from what I'm writing about or, you know, the songs. They're still... I've definitely written songs where it's a one-off and I could care less about it, but I think the majority of my songs I'm pretty emotionally invested in, I suppose.
Yeah. How much do you write? Like, do you sit around writing every day? Do you try to write every day?
I have been in a bad habit lately of not writing every day. My goal was always to sit down at a guitar and come up with at least something, even some part of a song, a verse or a melody that I liked or a chord progression that I liked or something, but just for the sake of keeping my brain in that mode. I think at this point I mess around creatively on guitar every day, but I probably realistically only start to write a song, you know, a couple times a month. In the very least, I guess. But yeah.
So Loewen, you had some songs, you started working them out with the drummer,
mm-hmm.
and then you realized that you didn't want to do the couch. So you guys realized that?
No, I had no plans. I didn't start building Loewen when I was in the couch. I had songs that were not getting played for sure.
Right.
But I think, you know, Taylor and I talked about it. We had a couple just heart-to-heart talks about the state of the couch and, you know, our writing relationship. And once we kind of came to terms with, like, okay, it's probably a good idea if we, you know, start from scratch. And we talked, you know, Nick and Judd about it, and same thing. And then once I kind of, once we laid it all out there, I started to find other people to work with. And then it was actually kind of a pretty, I thought it was going to be a gradual process. It ended up being pretty much like, all right, now I'm off. And they played a few shows throughout the rest of the year as The Couch without me.
Uh-huh.
And then they kind of used the new year to really, like, change over, you know, to Otis the Destroyer. And they did it. I think they did it really smart, you know, just uniting all their social media stuff and doing it all in one day, pretty much. So, to go.
Yeah. So, where'd you record these two songs that are on SoundCloud?
I did them at Fifth Street Studios with Nick Joswick, who is actually the bass player for Otis and records the stuff. He's the head engineer there, and he's just great. I mean, he's a great friend, so I'm really comfortable with him. I feel comfortable enough with him to try out, you know, weird ideas and also tell him when I don't like something, or, you know, we just have a good friendship. And we had recorded with him before with The Couch, so I had already kind of been in Fifth Street and knew what kind of stuff we could pull together. That's where we recorded it. And he mastered them too. We did it in a fairly short period of time.
And you're going to do you're going to do an EP?
Yeah. The goal is to do an EP, ideally August or September. I've been using shows to flesh out songs and, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and what I'm really dedicated to long term in terms of a recording. You know, some songs I love to play live, but I wouldn't necessarily want a recording of them. So I think right now I'm aiming for 6 songs. I'm definitely a less is more person with EPs, especially because you kind of have that luxury. But I'd rather have, you know, 4 really well-produced, awesome, textured songs than 6 demos, basically.
Right.
You know?
How much time do you think you guys, I mean, do you guys go in and kind of cut it as live as possible? Is that what you're kind of looking for with this band? Or?
We do. It's not, I don't think we do quite as much live as we do with The Couch. I think this last time when we did Heave Ho and Lobo, I played like scratch guitar and a scratch vocal in like the mixing room, and then had Chris do everything on drums. And then I think we did Nate, we overdubbed Nate, and then we overdubbed all the guitars stuff. So I guess it wasn't really live at all, but we did all the tracking in a day, pretty much.
Wow.
So
you can do stuff pretty fast when you need to. You got the right engineer if the band's rehearsed enough. Do you guys rehearse a lot?
We do. I mean, we practice once a week, and we've gotten, when we first started, I had a different guitar player. His name's Adam Mason, and he actually plays bass for Slow-Mo Drags. He's an old Berkeley friend and really great, but Slow-Mo is like his baby. Mm-hmm. Him and Jackson, the guy that sings and plays lead. I think after a few months, once Lowen like really got rolling, he was like, you know, I really love the music, but you might want to find somebody else to do this long term. Somebody that's like can really commit to a project. So kind of halfway through, once we had played a couple of shows, we had to take a few steps back and teach another guitar player the set. And now I have my friend Kyle playing guitar, and he learned it real fast. So we were kind of frantically practicing for a little while. I booked a show to kind of give us a deadline. We're like, well, we've got this show, so we have to learn, you know, these 9 songs by then. And then now that we're kind of past the, okay, what else do you need to learn phase of rehearsals, we're really getting into, you know, writing or adding new songs, adding covers, you know.
What kind of covers do you do?
I've done, in my music career, I think I've covered everybody, but
With this band.
This one, so far we've covered Dream Brother, Jeff Buckley.
Uh-huh.
And he's one of my like favorite writers. And then most recently at the Black Heart this last weekend, we covered Blondie's Call Me.
Oh, yeah.
And I think... Sorry. That actually, we're going to play... Well, our next show is with Casual Strangers.
And oh, yeah.
The girl that plays synth for them, Jaylin.
Jaylin.
Yeah. I think she's going to sit in with us for that.
Oh, cool.
That synth solo. Kyle had been playing it on guitar, but it just needs to be synth solo. So
yeah.
We'll see. We're going to see if we have the collective. We, I guess, have time to all do it together before the show, but that's the plan anyway.
You like Blondie a lot?
I do. I mean, I like Debbie Harry. You know, I think I was always... There's always the internal debate of the Debbie Harry versus Pat Benatar thing, and I think... What? You never heard the who's hot, who's hotter, who's... I don't know.
No.
No? I guess that's something I just had in my own,
yeah,
own brain.
No, no, no.
I think, like, in terms of... You know, I like her hits, but I've never really listened to their albums, per se.
A Blondie?
Yeah. My knowledge of them is... All I did when I was a kid was listen to the radio, so my knowledge of a lot of people is just top 40. You know, like, what was on the radio, what was their hit and stuff, but I always liked her attitude. She's not, like, the best singer in the world, but she sells it, you know?
Yeah. Mm. What do you think? Who do you think is a great singer? Jeff Buckley? Who else?
Yeah. I mean, he's got such a good range. But, you know, it's really is, you know, what is the measure of a good singer? I mean... Even Billie Holiday, her range was only like an octave or something like that, you know. But I mean, Sarah Vaughan is one of my favorite singers.
Yeah.
I actually really like a lot of jazz singers quite a bit. I'd say, goodness, I don't even know.
Do you ever watch any of those singing shows?
Not really, to be completely honest.
You know, like your mom's friend or something's like, Sarah, you should. Go on that.
I've been asked, or I've been told that, you know, The Voice and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and I know, you know, like Lex Land and
yeah.
stuff in town that have done it and come away with it, like, with like good learning experiences. I just don't. I think that caters to a very particular type of singer, and to be honest, it reminds me of a lot of the singers at Berklee. It's a very showboaty
yeah,
type
yeah,
of singing,
yeah, yeah,
you know, and like. Like, one of my favorite, one of my friends gave me Angel Olsen's record for my birthday.
Is that?
She's just a new kind of singer-songwriter. She's okay. got, like, an amazing timbre to her voice. Like, super quality, you know, nothing, it's a total throwback. I mean, it's very kind of reminiscent of, like, not Nancy Sinatra, but I don't even know what it reminds me of. But, you know, like, if you were to put her on one of those shows, I mean, you know, it's like measuring like a Bruno Mars type to like somebody that's like really going for a tone,
yeah,
or more of a feel.
I always wonder like what Lou Reed,
yeah,
how he would have done it.
Yeah,
I mean, not that he would have ever done it, but how funny yeah. that would just be to see.
Right. Well, and Dave Grohl actually had a really big quote about it, and I mean, he always has some gems, in my opinion, in terms of like his philosophy on the music industry and stuff. But it, in so many words, he was saying, you know, like you don't form a band, you don't play music by trying out for three people that, you know, are going to tell you if you're good or not. You go and you buy shitty instruments and you sit in a garage and you suck at music for a really long time and you work at it and you figure out what you want to sound like.
That's how you do it.
And that's how you do it. And that was always kind of my, I guess, my school of thought too. It's like, you know, I'm not against those shows or anybody that goes on them. I think they give exposure to a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't, you know, get it.
Well, now it's like there's no like, you know, when you put out an EP,
mm-hmm.
like you can get some play on the radio, but there's not any real
mm-hmm.
like there's such a huge gap between, I guess, what once there's no like real middle class in music anymore.
Oh no,
it's
yeah.
all like down here or Jay-Z.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there are artists, you know, like Amy Mann and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Feist and stuff who have maintained, or in Nico Case, you know, they,
Nico Case.
They've
you're an Amy Mann fan.
Oh, I do like her. Yeah, she was actually.
Yeah.
And I heard her new song with Ted Leo, and I actually liked it.
Yeah, that's a great one. I hung out with her quite
oh, yeah.
a bit and did a song with her.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I think there are people like that, like, you know, I didn't know about Amy Mann until I was, you know, most of my way through college, and she had already been making records for like 2 decades by then. So I think there is a middle class. There's people that kind of maintain this level of success where they're not necessarily as big as Jay-Z, but they're obviously like doing well to support themselves mm-hmm. and still make music the way that they want to make music,
yeah.
you know? And, I think that is a cool thing about the music scene right now. I mean, it's still obviously super oversaturated and it's hard to kind of keep, it's hard to make money without a day job, honestly, you know?
Yeah.
But,
what's your job?
I'm a waiter. At Guerrero's Taco Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Just down the street. I've worked there for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and there's a ton of people that work there that are in bands. I mean, Sean Little Radar, he works there with me. This my friend Elle, who's in a great rockabilly band called the Phantom Shakes. I mean, they, you know, service industry.
Used to be some good comics that worked there.
Oh, yeah. A guy named Fred, I think.
Fred, yeah. Fred Jones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He dated a friend of mine for a long time, but yeah. She also worked there. But
that's interesting. Yeah. Fred's a big
fan. I've actually never met him, but I know him because I know his ex-girlfriend.
He's not in comedy anymore. I think now he's in the culinary.
Oh, racket. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, service industry is great for artists. It allows you to work 3 days a week if you need to and play shows whenever you want. And, you know, I just think it's always going to cater to, like, the creative, artistic
Before community. You worked at Wero's, mm-hmm. did you go there?
No.
Okay.
But I did get my job at Guerrero's a month into living in Austin.
Okay.
And so...
Oh, so you've worked there the whole time.
I've worked there as soon as I got here. Yeah, I had a family friend. You know, I moved here without really, you know, any job or a place to live. But I did have some family here. And a cousin of mine was like, hey, I have a friend that has a connection at Guerrero's.
Are you related to Brad Houser?
I'm not. I'm not related to...
Do you know Brad?
Is he a bass player?
Yeah.
Does he have a long goatee? He's
the little one.
No, okay. Maybe I haven't met him. I don't think I'm related to any Housers in Austin. I have a Houser in Round Rock, but okay. Yeah, that's not
the Round Rock Houses.
The Round Rock Houses.
Maybe you know of us. Sarah Houser of the Round Rock Houses.
I'm of the Dirty Austin Housers, but
yeah.
But yeah, so were you asking about their food? Is that what you were asking?
Well, there's a thing, like, there's arguments, and this doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just a question I like to ask people, because there's this whole Polvo's versus Wero's.
Oh, right.
And I like Wero's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem. And people get all bent out of shape.
Yeah. I mean, people go to Polvo's, I feel like, for the fajitas. They've got some good range of fajitas, for sure. And I think there's a lot of things that Wero's does really well. You know, I've worked there so long that I'm very selective with when I eat there. But the food, you know, I mean...
When I need a good bowl of cheese and meat, I get the queso flamiado.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The heart attack.
Yeah.
Oh, God, do it with chorizo. You'll never move again.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
What else? What else is going on with you? Are you guys going to go out of town? Do you guys go out of town?
We haven't yet. mostly because all four of us drive really small hatchbacks. But so logistically, getting out of town will be something we have to encounter later when we can rent cars and stuff. But, I mean, we're still so new in Austin that I feel like I'm still just kind of getting that, you know, Lowen as a name out there.
Yeah.
And we've been really lucky. You know, I made so many friends and connections when I was in the couch that, you know, I had friends book us before they even knew what we sounded like. It was, you know, that was basically riding
that's
on.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it was. That's one thing I love about the grassroots, you know, what I respect about like Austin and Nashville, cities like that. It's like, you can do that. You can build relationships and you don't need a press kit before you get a show.
Do people even look at... I don't even really look at press kits.
I don't even look at electronic press kits anymore.
You know?
But, I mean, I guess Sonic Bid still has its South by Southwest use. But, you know, I think with how much stuff you can pile onto free Facebook pages and Twitter and, you know, even building... I built a page for the couch with, like, Blogger or something like that. And you can get a lot done without having to, you know, do the whole HTML, press pass, email blast, get the, you know.
Are you on Twitter?
Mm-hmm. I am. Lowen ATX was the handle.
And then also on Facebook.
Yep.
Do you think that sometimes that's pretty much enough? SoundCloud, you mix in there so people can hear the tunes. You throw up a YouTube video when you need to.
Right.
Boom.
I think a lot, a thing for me and or my mentality with social media is making sure that it's all cohesive. And, you know, I like things like Bandcamp and SoundCloud because the players are really easy to embed.
Uh-huh.
So you can put it on Facebook and rather than redirecting you to another site, you can just play it.
Yeah. And people are already there on Facebook.
And they don't want to leave. Nobody on Facebook wants to leave Facebook. You get sucked into it for hours, you know?
Yeah. Nobody wants to go, like, unless you have a site that's always changing and always has a bunch of new shit.
Yeah.
Then really, like, what's different than your news, news feed on your
thing? It's kind of like an aggregator at this point, really. I mean, just, you can link. And you can sync up so much stuff, too. I mean, you can sync Facebook and Twitter. You can sync Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And
Which is your favorite?
Oh, gosh. You know, I find myself really into Instagram because I feel like you don't have to deal with really hate reading people's political rants. And,
I do, too.
Not that I don't like to surround myself with, like, people that think just like me, but it's like, you know, I don't really go on Facebook to be bombarded with how much Jesus loves me and how, you know,
or even your own
church and state, or, you know,
even,
all the,
even
yeah.
your own beliefs, having someone cram, like, be all weird and fanatic. You're like, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no, it's such a weird, like, fine line with, I mean, people can really say whatever they want to on your stuff even.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right. But with Instagram, you know, it's like, I like looking at pictures of what people are doing and
artsy,
fartsy stuff or what they're eating even. I know people hate posting pictures of their food, but I think it's cool sometimes.
My friend Corey was going to do this thing because he hates the pictures of food and then the listing of what it is, like kale, you know.
Encrusted,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So he was going to put a listing of everything, but just a picture of his poop. But like, that's what he ate the day before or whatever.
Hey, I mean, you know, he could start a campaign. They've got the Free the Nipple. Maybe you could do, like, you know, pick the poop or something.
Pick the poop. Can you tell what I ate?
Can you tell what I ate? Can you tell how dehydrated I am? How many beers I drank last night?
Are you? Do you like to drink?
I do. I come from a big German family, German English. I've got some...
What's Taylor?
I think y'all talked about this last time. I have no idea. I think he's like Wilkins is like English-ish.
Oh yeah. We did talk about this last time.
Yeah. But I do like to drink. I mean, I'm not like a necessarily super social person.
So
it's always a nice lubricant. But
yeah. Sorry about that fly. It's driving me crazy.
Oh, it's okay.
When I was doing my thing, I'd get in this zone where I was all zenned out, and then all of a sudden it would land on my face.
Oh no. Yeah. The noise drives me crazy. I can hear him when I'm trying to fall asleep at night, you know, and ugh, it's so annoying.
What part of town do you guys live in?
East Side.
Yeah.
Yeah, East 11th. Yeah. Right, kind of down the street from, you know, Quickie Picky and Hillside Pharmacy and all that stuff.
Where did Switched On move?
Switched On, I think, is still there. It's on, last time I was at Switched On not that long ago with the Sour Notes, and it was on East 11th.
Okay.
It might have moved since then, but I thought it was still there. It's going after you.
I'm getting attacked by a fly. Is there anything I'm missing, Sarah?
No, I don't think so.
People can go to Low in ATX.
Yeah, that's our Twitter handle. If you look on Facebook, I think it's Low in Band. Facebook.com/Low in Band. And then our next show is July 18th for the Casual Strangers album release with Chaska, which is an amazing glam rock band. If you haven't seen them. They're great.
What day is the 18th?
It's a Friday.
It's next Friday?
Yeah. Next Friday, yeah. And they do they're in corsets and fake eyelashes.
I can get into that.
Feather boas, glitter.
Yeah.
They're some of the best musicians, honestly, that I've ever seen. I played with them in San Marcos a couple times. And
what are they called again?
Chaska.
C-H-A-S-C-A. And Casual Strangers are great.
Yeah, and Casual Strangers are great. They're, you know, it's Paul and Jay Lynn from The Boxing Lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always super nice and
very funny.
You know, very
weird.
Yeah. Jay Lynn works at Guerrero's technically too. She's not in the restaurant
she's
like
in
him.
The parking
she's in the
thing.
Office, yeah.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, we're all connected in the Austin music scene. It's very
Good. And that is the 18th, and what time, and where is that? The Mohawk?
The Mohawk,
and
yeah. I think we're opening the night. I think it's, the doors are at 9. I think we play at 10, but I could have it. Pretty sure that's how it is.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, great. People should get out and see it. Your band sounds great. They can go and download the songs for free on SoundCloud as well, which is a bonus plus.
Yep.
So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Sarah Hauser. The band is Lowen. They're great. Get out there. You can check out those songs on SoundCloud, and you can download them. Going tonight to the Mohawk to see them tonight, Friday, July 18th. They're playing with Casual Strangers for their record release. Going to it, gonna do it. Thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Gobi for coming by. I want to thank Amber for setting that up. I want to thank Sarah for coming by, the band Lowen, for being so fantastic. And get out there, support music. Get out there and listen to music. And while you're out there supporting and listening to music online, you can like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. And you can go to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast. You can also find us on Stitcher, which I am very proud of. Okay? I want to thank Gobi. I want to thank Sarah. Thank you guys for listening. You guys are great. You guys are fantastic. I don't know what I'd do without you. Honestly, I miss you when I'm not talking to you. I don't even know you guys. All of you. I don't know. Write me on Twitter. Say hi. You know I'm thinking about you. Let's listen to a little bit more Lowen. Let's get down. Woke up in a fog.